Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Psachim daf Mem Hey. We left off in daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We are at Amar Le Rav Acha Berei de Rav Avya Le Rav Ashi, about 5-6 lines from the end of the page. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by the Zchus Rufus Shlema for Rabbi Kalimer Shlita Yehuda Ben Rivka Leia by a lifelong Talmud. It's also sponsored by the outdoor minyan in Woodmere, known as the Church Avenue Minyan, the Zchus Rufus Shlema for our friends, neighbors, and members, Yuri Sternfeld, Yehuda Aryeh Benita, who's currently in the ICU fighting COVID, and Moshe Schwartz, Moshe Yitzchak Bentuvia Rosa, who's also in the ICU. They should both have Rufus Shlema Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. It's also sponsored by Greg Adler to commemorate the end of the Shloshim for his father-in-law, Dr. Daniel Schwartz, Mordechai Yehoshua, Ben Moshe Meir HaKohen, Olav Asholm, and Hashem Hashem Naliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding again at Amalei Ravach Ravashi. The Gemara is first going to discuss Rabbi Akiva's Shita. We learned yesterday that Rabbi Akiva learns from Mishras Anavim that it says by Nazir that there's a principle called Heter Mitztarif Le'Isser. So we're going to discuss that Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Does that apply to Kol HaTorah Kula, or is that exclusively for Nazir? Perhaps there is some sort of Shnei Ksuvin Aban Ke'echad that makes it more limiting and that prevents Rabbi Akiva from being Malamed to Kol HaTorah Kula. And we're also going to question Rabbi Akiva, because we find that by Nazir, even Isser, that we need a Lima to tell me that Isser is Mitztarif L'Isser, the different Isurim of Nazir Mitztarif to each other. So shouldn't that make it obvious that Heter is not Mitztarif L'Isser? If it's a Chiddush that even Isser is Mitztarif L'Isser, then the Mishnah is going to discuss an old piece of bread that's stuck in the crack of a utensil, and whether that's problematic for Pesach, and whether it's considered a Chatzitza when you have to be Tovel the Kli. Is that going to be an issue of a chatzitza as like a foreign substance that's on the Kli? Or when do we consider it that it's already just part of the Kli, that it fills in a crack in the Kli? And the daf is going to conclude with a number of issues relating to a dough that's either no longer being used for food, or it's broken up into small quantities. When do we say that it's no longer a palm of chametz? Nifsal me'achilas kelev, if you were mevatalit from usage as food. So we're going to discuss all of those details be'ezras Hashem as well. So let's begin. So Rav Acha ben Rav Avya says Rav Ashi the following. Taking stock of what we learned yesterday, Rabbi Akiva holds that only by Isurei Nazir we say that Heter is Mitztarif L'Isser. By all other Isurim in the Torah, he didn't say anything. So why didn't Rabbi Yochanan comment that according to Rabbi Akiva, we should learn from Isurei Nazir to call the Shari Isurin Shabbat Torah? Midrabana Nishma the Rabbi Akiva. After all, you should be able to derive what Rabbi Akiva would say about Heter Mitztarif L'Isser from what the Rabbanan say about Tam Ki Iker, meaning the Rabbanan derived from that very same pasuk of Mishra Sadavim, that Tam Ki Iker, and the Rabbanan say Tam Ki Iker applies everywhere, applies in Kol HaTorah Kula. So why don't we say, Mid Rabbanan, from what the Rabbanan say about Tam Ki Iker, Nishma le Rabbi Akiva, we should derive what Rabbi Akiva would say about Mishra Sadavim. Milo Ami Rabbanan, Mishra Slita and Tam Ki Iker, Mikana Tadon, the Kol HaTorah Shabbatorah. Don't the Rabbanan say that from Mishras we learn Tam Ki Iker, and once we learn Tam Kiker from Mishras, we apply it to Kol Yisur and Shabbat Torah. So the Rabbi Akiva Nami, Mishras Lehetem Mitzayef Le'Isser, Mikana Tadon, the Kol Yisur and Shabbat Torah Kula. So according to Rabbi Akiva, Mishras teaches me Hetem Mitzayef Le'Isser, and therefore he should apply that to Kol HaTorah Kula, that we should always say this principle of Hetem Mitzayef Le'Isser. So why did Rabbi Yochanan say that according to Rabbi Akiva, Hetem Mitzayef Le'Isser only applies to Nazir and not to Kol Yisur and Shabbat Torah? So Amar Leis, so Rav Ashi said back to Rav Acha, Bered Rav Avya, that according to Rabbi Akiva, who learns Mishras by Nazir to teach me the principle of Hetem Mitztarif L'Isser, you cannot derive it from there to Kol HaTorah Kula. Mishum Davin Nazir v'chatos shnei ksuvin aban ke'echad ve'in melamdin, because Nazir is not the only place where the Torah teaches me this principle of Hetem Mitztarif L'Isser. The Torah teaches me the principle by chatos as well, by kachim, by karban as well. And since there are two places in the Torah where the Torah tells me Hetem Mitztarif L'Isser, we see from there that it does not apply to the rest of the Torah, because whenever the Torah tells me something in one place, that's a mematzinu, that's a binyanav, we can apply it to everywhere else. And the Torah is the most basic of all of the midosh HaTorah in the Drashas Ben, that if it says it in one place, we assume it's a lamed al klal, it's being lamed about Kol HaTorah Kula, because Kol HaTorah Kula is inyan echad. We assume that all of Torah works within certain klalim, and therefore if we're taught a klal in one place, it's to teach everywhere. But when the Torah has to say say it a second time. Why would the Torah need to say something a second time? It must be that that's a list of the exceptions and not the rule. That if it says it twice, that it's Ein Melamdin. So is that true that it taught that the Torah tells me he had to Messiah Lister in the context of Chatos as well? Nazir Hada Amara. Nazir, we already saw from yesterday. Mishras Anavim, Rabbi Akiva learns, tells me the principle of Hatter Messiah Lister. Chatos Maihi, where does it ever say such a thing about a Chatos? Titania, because we have a Brisa that tells us as follows. The Pasuk tells us about in the Parsha of Karban Chatos, in Parsha Tzav, Kol Asher Yiga Bivisara Yikdash, that any Basar Chulin or Basar Shlamim that touches the Basar of the Chatos takes on the Kedusha status of the Chatos. Now, from the simple reading of the Pasuk, I would think, even if there are no blios that transfer from one to the other, it's just that it touches, that a chatos touches some other meat, that other meat is now going to have the status of a chatos. So, tamalomar, bivisara. That's why the Pasuk says, bivisara, ache yivla bibasar. It means that it has to be balua in the basar. It's a little bit odd, because bivisara means the basar of the chatos, not the basar of the other meat. And we're darshaning it to say that only when the chatos becomes nivla in the basar of the other meat, that the other meat takes on the chumrah of the chatos. So the halacha is, yikdash lios kamoa, that other meat becomes holy like the chatos. It takes on all of the restrictions of a chatos. She'im psulihi. So for example, if the chatos happens to be pigul or pasul in some other way, tipasel, then that other meat also has all of those psulim. V'im ksherihi, and if it's the chatos is kosher, then teyachel kechamer shaba. Then you have to eat it with like the most chamor of all the with all the chumras of a chatos in the azara, and only by zichre kuhuna, and only for one day and one night. And so the in that basar that absorbed from the flavor of the chatos, you have two minim combined. You have a chamor and a kal. You have the regular meat and the chatos flavor in it, or the chatos fat that got in it. And yet we take all of that meat and say all of it has the status of the chamor shaba. Isn't that exactly the principle of heter mitzarif le'isser, that the heter is mitzarif together with the isser, that it all takes on all of the chumras, and eating a kazayis of that meat is like, even though there's pachos mikazayis of actual chatos in any kazayis of meat, of that meat that you eat, nevertheless it has all of the restrictions of like eating a kazayis of a chatos. So the Rabbanan, so that's why Rabbi Akiva learns that we cannot learn from Nazir to Kala Tarakula that had the Messiah of Lisser, because you have both by Nazir and by Chatos had the Messiah of Lisser. So Shneik Sum Rabban Kechad, we cannot learn to Kala Tarakula. So ask the Gemara of Rabbanan, and what about the Rabbanan who learned from Mishras Tam Ki Iker, and they do apply that to Kala Tarakula? Why don't they say it's Shneik Sum Rabban Kechad? Rabbanan, meaning, couldn't the Rabbanan just as easily take that pasuk by Chatos and say, no, that's not Hetem Sarif Lister, that's Tam Ki Iker. And therefore, there are two different places where the Torah is telling me the principle of Tam Ki Iker, and therefore Tam Ki Iker is limited to only those two places. Amri, so the Rabban would say, Hanu Mitzrach Tzrichi. Now, we only say Shneik Sum Rabban Kechad when it would have been unnecessary for the Torah to mention both the halacha in both places, because I would have derived from one to the other. But if I couldn't derive from one to the other, and the Torah needs to tell me the halacha in both places, then even when it's Shneik Suvin, we're malame to the rest of Torah. V'Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva holds that you cannot learn from Nazir to Kala Torah Kula the Tam Ki Iker, because my he says he doesn't really see why it's necessary for the Torah to say it in both places. I understand very well, if it only would have said it by Chatos, we couldn't derive the halacha of Nazir from Chatos, because you can't learn out the halachas of Chulin from the halachas of Kachim. Meaning, it could be that there are certain chumras that you have by Kachim that don't apply to Chulin. But but why can't you just have it only by Nazir, and you'd be able to apply it to Kala Torah Kula? So the fact that we don't do that, and the Torah adds this halacha again by Chatas, must be there to teach me that Shnei Ksuvim Rabban Ke'echad, that these are the exception, and they are not the rule. Aye, but what about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan learned that they're the rule. V'Rabbanan Armilach Mitzrach Tzrichi. Chatas, Latim Mitzrayif L'Isser, Chulin Mikachim Lo Gamar, Umishras, Litein Tam Keker, Mikana Tadan, L'Kala Torah Kula, that the Rabbanan would say, you know what, the Pasuk by Chatas, we agree with you, Rabbi Akiva, that's telling me the din of Heter Mitzrayif L'Isser. But the Pasuk of Mishras and Avim, that's teaching Tam Keker, these are two separate limudim. So you have one limud of Tam Keker by Nazir, and from Nazir, you can learn to Kala Torah Kula, and therefore we apply Tam Keker and Kala Torah Kula. You have another limud by Chatas, that limud tells me Heter Mitzrayif L'Isser, but it's by definition limited, because it's only by Chatas. So you can't derive from Chatas, from Kachim, to Kala Torah Kula. So we agree that there's a principle of Heter Mitzrayif L'Isser, but it's so limited. It only applies by Kachim. It doesn't apply anywhere else, since its only source is by Chatas, and not like you, Rabbi Akiva, want to say that it has a source by Nazir as well. Rabbi Akiva travail Heter Mitzrayif L'Isser, and Rabbi Akiva learns that no, both the pasuk of Mishras and Avim by Nazir and the pasuk of Bivsara by Chatas both teach me the principle of Heter Mitzrayif L'Isser. And therefore it's Shnei Ksuvim Rabban Ke'echad, and that's why we cannot be melamed to the rest of Kala Torah Kula. We only apply Heter Mitzrayif L'Isser in these two cases, by Chatas and by Nazir, and not anywhere else. So now, says the Gemara, on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva wanted to say that Mishras is about Heter Mitzrayif L'Isser by Nazir. That by Nazir we have such a principle that what was the case? You have bread drenched in wine, and you eat a kazayis of that bread-wine mixture, so the nazir's chayiv. Ah, it's not a kazayis of wine? Yeah, but the heter, the bread that's drenched in the wine, is mitzarif together with the wine to be mashlim the kazayis. So says the Gemara, Amalei Ravashi d'Ravkana, Elohad d'Tanya, you know, we have a brisa that tells us that darshan's the pasuk in Parshas Naso by Nazir, mikol asher yaseh migefen hayayin mechartzonim yadzog, that anything that's made of any grape product whatsoever, whether it be the seeds of the grape, the peels of the grape, they're all usher to a nazir. From there we see that the various isurim of a nazir, the various parts of a grape that a nazir is not allowed to eat, are all mitzarif with each other to add up to a kezayis for his violation of the isur. Well, hashal, the Rabbi Kiva isur v'hetter mitzarifin isur v'isur mibayi. If according to Rabbi Kiva, even isur and heter could be mitzarif, like bread and the wine that's soaked in the bread, even that's mitzarif to a kezayis. I need a brisa to tell me, based on a pasuk, that isur and isur are mitzarif. If even heter mitzarif, so of course isur and isur are mitzarif. So this is a kasha on Rabbi Akiva saying Heter Mitzrayif L'Isser. Then how can you learn from Mishras, the Mishras Anavim, that Heter is Mitzrayif L'Isser? Apparently not. Apparently only Isurim of Nazir are Mitzrayif with each other. So Amalei, so Rav Kana said back to Ravashi, no, there are two halachos over here. Isser v'Heter v'Basachas. Isser v'Isser v'Zachar Zeh. When do we say Heter Mitzrayif L'Isser? That's if you're eating a bread that's drenched in wine, where you're consuming the wine and the bread simultaneously. That's when Heter Mitzrayif L'Isser. But if you had a cup of wine and a loaf of bread, and you drink Pachos Mikazayis, Pachos Mirvius, whatever, of the wine, and then eat, munch a little bit on the bread, we're not mitzarif the bread to the sheer Kazayis in that case, but by Isurei Nazir, by the various Isurim of a Nazir, you have grape peels and grape seeds and whatever, and you eat them one after the other, they are mitzarif to each other. So these are two separate halachos, Heter Mitzrayif L'Isser, and the various Isurim of a Nazir being mitzarif to each other, and they can both be correct, and with that, we defend Rabbi Akiva. So now we move on to the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Batzek Shebesitke Areva, if you have dough that's in a crack in a kneading bowl, so there's a crack in the bowl, and the dough sort of fills in the crack. If you have a full kazayis of dough in one spot in the bowl, then you have to be mevayir that dough for Pesach. But if you don't have a kazayis in that one spot, it's too tiny, you don't have to be mevayir it, because it's considered to be batel. Even though, apparently Rashi writes, there may be several chatzayis esim throughout the bowl. There may be several cracks, and each crack has pachos mikazayis, batel b'miyuto. And not only is this true with regard to chametz for Pesach, the Yisra of chametz on Pesach, that only if there's a kezayis in one spot is it problematic. V'cheinli in yinat tumah. Also, as far as tumah, by tumah over here, what we really mean is tahara, meaning when that's what it seems, at least from the simple reading of the Mishnah, that in makbid alav you want to bring this kli to the mikvah, so you can't have any chatzitza. The same halachos that apply to chatzitza of people applies to chatzitza when a person goes to the mikvah, applies to chatzitza of kelim. So that's why you bring a keli to the mikvah, you have to make sure that you get all the stickers off and you take any foreign substances off of the kli. So now you have this dough in the crack of a kli. Is that a foreign substance? So if you're makbid, you don't want that dough to be there, and you plan on removing it from there, then it's not batel to the bowl, and therefore chotzeitz, it's going to be a chatzitza. But vimrotze b'kiyumo, but you, if you want it there, because you have this crack in the bowl, you'd rather it be smooth, and you plan on leaving that dough there forever, then areu kareva, then it becomes part of the bowl. And that's always the halacha when it comes to chatzitza, that which is a miut she'eno makbid, that which is on a small part of the kli, and you're not makbid on the being there, you're mevatel to the kli, you're perfectly fine with it being there, that is not going to be a problem of a chatzitza. People often ask, I brought all my kelim to the mikvah, I just came back and I noticed there was one sticker on the bottom of the bowl that I didn't get off. So if it's something that, one of those clear stickers that you would never remove it but for the tevilas kelim, that's the only reason that you remove it. It's totally not noticeable, so then it would not be a problem. You wouldn't have to go back to tovelit again. But if it's something that you would remove as soon as you would notice it, you just missed it for whatever reason, so then you need to tovel it again, because that's called that a person is makbid. So we have this halacha about the dough and the kli as well. So now, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yomar Shmuel, going back to the chametz portion, the Pesach related portion of the Mishnah, where we said that if you have a kezayis of dough in one spot, that's going to be a problem. Pachas mikezayis is not a problem. Rav Yomar Shmuel qualifies that lo shanu el b'makom shein asui in l'chazek. This idea that if they are large pieces, larger than a kezayis in one spot, that you have to destroy it, that's only when it's in a part of the bowl that doesn't help to be that doesn't help to hold the water in the bowl, meaning but if it's in a place that helps hold the water in the bowl when you're kneading in that bowl, then you're not going to have to destroy it, even if it is larger than a kezayis, because then we assume that you're mevatel it to the bowl, because it becomes part of the bowl. It's necessary in order to hold all of the water in place that you're trying to knead together with the flour. So mechlal, the implication, however, of that comment is the pachos mikazayis afil magum shein asil chazik einu chayev levayer. That if it were pachos mikazayis, even if it were on the upper part of the bowl that doesn't hold the water, not just the lower part of the bowl, that we would never have to worry about it. So the Rabbi Dov Shmuel is telling us a major kula over here, that even though in the Mishnah we just had a simple distinction between kezayis versus pachos mikezayis, even kezayis is not always a problem. That kezayis, if it's in the bottom part of the bowl that actually holds the water, that's going to be fine. Pachos mikezayis, wherever it is going to be fine. Kezayis is only a problem when it's in the upper part of the bowl. So yikad demasin la seifa. However, there is a second version of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel that also makes a distinction, a similar distinction, but in a much more chamor direction. That it's commenting on the case of pachos mikezayis. Vim lav batal b'miyuto. When the Mishnah said that if it's pachos mikezayis, you don't have to worry about it. That's when do you not have to worry about pachos mikezayis? That's only if it's in the bottom part of the bowl. But anything on the top part of the bowl, even pachos mikezayis, you're going to have to worry about. It's going to be a problem. You're going to have to be mevayer. Ooh, mechlal de kezayis. According to that, if it's a full kezayis, it's always a problem. So version number one of Rabbi Dov Shmuel says that pachos mikezayis is never a problem. Yeah, and even a kezayis is sometimes not a problem. Version number two is that pachos mikezayis, that a kezayis is always a problem. Pachos mikezayis could even sometimes be a problem if it's on the upper half of the bowl. So the two lashonos argue about pachos mikezayis in makom she'eino asoy lechazik, pachos mikezayis on the top part of the bowl, and about a kezayis b'makoma asli the chazik. That according to the first lashon, you're pater milavar. According to the second lashon, you're chayiv levar. So tanya kalishna kama v'tanya kalishna basra. It's not just two versions of Rudam Shmuel. We actually have two brises, one that reflects each of these versions. Tanya kalishna kama, the brisa that supports the first version of Rudam Shmuel says as follows: Batzek shebesit ge'areva. You have a dough that's in the cracks of a kneading bowl. B'makom asli l'chazik. If it's the part of the bowl, the bottom part of the bowl, where the water is there and where you're going to mix it together, eino chotzeitz. Then it's not going to be chatzitza for tevila. And if the bowl becomes tamei and that dough is still there and it's helping to, and it's in the lower part of the bowl, it becomes batel to the bowl. It's not a chatzitza. You could be matpil it as is. And it's not going to be a violation of chametz on Pesach. Meaning, here you have a piece of dough. If it's in the bottom part of the bowl, not a problem. If it's in the top part of the bowl, chotzeitz, it will be a chatzitza for tevila. It does not become batel to the bowl, and therefore v'over, it's going to be a problem of chametz on Pesach. So far, it didn't tell us anything because we don't know how big this dough is. So says the Braisa, that this distinction between the lower part of the bowl and the upper part of the bowl is only if it's a kezayis. But if it's pachas mikezayis, it doesn't matter where it is, it's perfectly fine, you don't have to worry about it, it's never going to be a problem. So there we have like the more makil version of Rabbi Yom HaShmuel. Pachas mikezayis is never a problem. And even a kezayis is only a problem if it's in the upper part of the bowl. But then v'tanya kalishna basra, we also have a brisa that supports the lishna basra, the second version of Rudam Shmuel, that batzik shebesit ge'areva, if you have dough in the crack of a bowl, but makom ma'asri l'chazek, if it's in the lower part of the bowl where it holds the water together, eino chotzeitz, the water and the flour together, then eino chotzeitz, it's not going to be a chatzitza for tevila, it's part of the bowl, the eino over, and it's not a violation by Rabbi Matzah and Pesach. But if it's in a part of the bowl that doesn't hold the actual food, it's in the upper part of the bowl, then chotzeitz ve'over, then it is a problem for tevila, and it's a problem for chametz b'pesach by roi by matzah. But medvar mamurim b'pachos mikazayis, and that distinction between the lower part of the bowl and the upper part of the bowl is by pachos mikazayis. Avol b'kazayis afilu makom asel chazik chotzeitz ve'over. But if it's a kazayis, then even in any part of the bowl, it's going to be a problem. Even on the lower part of the bowl where it's necessary to hold the water and the flour, it's still going to be a violation of Bali Rabbi Matzah. It's still going to be a chatzitza for tevila because it's too chashva an amount of dough. Once you're dealing with the kazayis, it's always going to be problematic. So here you have beferish in brisas. One brisa like the first version of Yudam Shmuel, the other brisa like the second version of Yudam Shmuel, kashin adadi, and these two brisas, l'chora, are a stira to each other. The Maram Chalava points out we're not intending to ask that there's a stira between the brises, because a stira between the brises is not a stira, it's what we call a machlokas. A lot of times in Shas you have brises that associate each other. It's really those stira inversions of Rabbi Yom Shmuel. That makes it much less comfortable. The fact that you can have two Tanaim that disagree with each other, there are no names attached to the brisa. But we did have Rabbi Yom Shmuel attached to both of these comments. So we'd always prefer not to say that that there's some sort of confusion as to what Rabbi Yom HaShmuel really said, right? We never want to say that there's confusion about what a Tana or Amora really said. That's what Rashi writes in Maseches Ksuvos, that even though throughout Kol HaTorah Kula, we always have a principle of whenever we have a Machlokas, Beishame, Beisilel, or Rameh, Rabbi Yehuda, we can always say, Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that everybody's right, it's just they're each looking at it from a different perspective. It's all Divrei Elokim Chayim, but when it comes to a Machlokas about what somebody said, so that's a machlokas and metzius. A machlokas and metzius is not elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim. Somebody's wrong. And we never want it to be that somebody is just straight out wrong when it comes to when it comes to learning Torah. That would turn the shita that is wrong into bittul Torah. So one of those lashonos that we just learned is bittul Torah. We're not even learning something that was really ever said. Maybe not that far, but because we're still trying to figure out what he said, so that's also part of Talmud Torah. But it would we never prefer to say that somebody's just wrong. So anyway, Kashi now Dadi, we have these two brises that go against each other, and these two versions of Rishon Shmuel that go against each other. So Gemara has three ways of dealing with this. Number one, says Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Sami Kilta Mikami Chamirta. Okay, if we have two options over here, we're going to have to go with the more chamer one. We have to erase the brisa that's more lenient, meaning the first brisa that tells us that Pachas Mikazayas is never a problem, and even Kazayas sometimes isn't a problem, in favor of the more machmir brisa. And you have to say that the first brisa is Eina Mishnah, that it's not viable. Why would you say that? So probably this is based on Safik Daraisa Luchumra. The Safik is whether you have to be Mevayer, that's a Safik Daraisa, because we're talking about where you're not yet Mevata Luchametz, because the brisa say that Over implies that it's a violation of Bal Yira. If we're talking about that you're Mevatalit, then it would not be a violation of Bal Yira. That's the Ha'ara that the Tzlach makes, that the Nadivida makes in the Tzlach. Then it must be that we're talking in a case where you're not Mevatalit, and since you're not Mevatalit, what we're dealing with is Safik Daraisa, so Safik Daraisa Luchumra. A second way of dealing with this stira in the two braisas, Rav Yosef Amar, Tanoi Shakalta Biyama. Why, you don't think that there are Tanoim that disagree about this? This is a machlokas between two different Tanoim. Each braisa reflects a different shita in Tanoim. Tanoi, it's a machlokas Tanoim, and I could show you where it's a machlokas Tanoim. Titania, because we have a braisa that tells us as follows. Hapas she ipsha, if you have bread that's become mold, Chayiv Levayer, you have to destroy it, even though it's not Roy Lachilas Adam. Because you could sprinkle it into other doughs, and it will help those other doughs ferment. It will help them become chametz. So it's like Sa'ar, where the Torah says explicitly that yeast is aser, even though yeast, no one read yeast, it's not Roy Lachila. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer Bamed Var Mamurim B'Mekuyemes Lachila. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, now when do we say that you have to destroy it? That's only if it's bread that you're keeping it around for achila purposes. But aval kofes sa'or sheyichta liyeshiva batla. But if you take some dough and you are miyachid it for a bench to sit on right now, now it's batla mitoras chametz, and you're not going to be in violation of the isra of sa'or on Pesach. Now, obviously, if you're going to use it as a chair, we're talking about that it's at least a kazayis. You can't sit on a chair that's smaller than a kazayis. So you have this big block of dough that's way larger than a kazayis, and nevertheless, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, it could become batel. So apparently, there is a tana that holds that even larger than a kazayis could lose its shem achila. Could lose its shem achila entirely. That's how Rashi explains that it's batel mitaras chametz, and you don't violate mishum sa'ar, even though it's still ra'u ila achila. Tosus points out in Dibra Maskel Kofes, even though it's still ra'u ila achila, but it's no longer omed la'achila, and therefore it's going to be batel. So Sharetzion in the bottom of the Shmura in Simtaf Membeis points out that even though stam chametz that you're mevatel, you're still in violation of an isur midrabanan. That's only because of a gezerah shem of yavaliachlo. But over here it's not shayach shem yavaliachlo, because it's not just that you're mevatel it, that you said about this chametz that it's nothing to me, it's meaningless. You were meyachid it for something else. You designated it for a different purpose. It's now being used as a chair, a stool, or something like that. That and it's ma'us. So that's why we would assume that it's better than a regular bittul. A regular bittul, you would still have an isur midrabanan associated with a regular bittul. Magen Mishnah points out that we have to that when we said previously that Rosh Hashanah says that you have a pas that's mekuyim la'achila, a pas that you're keeping around to eat, only then is it a problem. So Magen Mishnah writes, you have to say that a pas she'ifsha, that's Roy Lachilas Kelev, and his Mukiyamas Achila means, I mean, we're talking about a pas that's not really edible for people. Mukiyamas Achila means it's Roy Lachilas Kelev, and that's what we're saying, that if it's Roy Lachilas Kelev and you didn't designate it for any other purpose, that's when it's going to be a problem. But if it's Roy Lachilas Kelev and you designated it for some other purpose, then it's not going to be a problem anymore. And based on that, it brings a raya to the Shita Sarambam, that when we say that you have to destroy pas she'ifshut, some pas gamur, that became moldy, and it's still roi lachilas kelev. Whereas the Ravid holds that we're talking about paschal sa'ar, they have to be mevari even if it's not roi lachilas kelev. That if you're dealing with yeast, it doesn't even have to be roi lachilas kelev. So but the Ravid is going to have trouble with this phrase mukuyemes la'achila. That Rabbi Shimon says, when do we say you have to be mevari? That's only if it's mukuyemes la'achila. So la'achila for who? Because according to the Ravid, for nobody, not even for a kelev. But according to the Rambam, it's mukuyemes la'achila, at least for a kelev. But anyway, midam Rabbi Shimon Elazar batla mechal de tanakama savar lo batla. If Rabbi Shimon Elazar had to tell me, oh, once I decide I'm using it as a chair, it's batal and it's fine, that implies that the Tanakama disagrees with that. Alma kasavar kol kazayis afgavim batal lo batal. Apparently, Tanakama holds it's a kazayis. You can't just say that it's batal. You can't, once it's a kazayis, that's automatically problematic. You can't say that it's automatically that it's going to be batal. So it's a violation of Chametz on Pesach. So it turns out that the Brisos that disagree whether a kazayis that you're mevatel to the bowl, to the kneading bowl, that's stuck in the kneading bowl, those two Brisos are arguing about this same machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Elazar and the Tanakama about taking a piece of dough and using it as a chair. The first Brisa that says that you don't have to be mevair the kazayis in the kneading bowl, as long as it's b'makom asoy l'chazek, is assuming like Rabbi Shimon Elazar that once it's no longer omid la'achila, it's fine, it's batal on its own, and you don't have to say that that brisa is a mistake and that we have to just reject it. The second brisa where it said that you always have to be mevar chaticha that has a kazayis, that's assuming like the Tanakama holds that a chaticha sheyesh b'kazayis could never become batal. So Amalei Abaye, Abaye says yeah, but tirasik b'kazayis pachs b'kazayis mitirasta, meaning we had a double stira between the two brises. One stira was about, can you ever have something that's larger than a kazayis and is still batel? But we had another stira, what about pachos mikazayis in a place that's not usable in the bowl, in a place in the upper part of the bowl? That was also stira between the two brises. I don't see a machlokas tanaim about that, so by just saying it's a machlokas tanaim, you didn't really solve the stira in the two brises. You only solved half of the stira between the two brises. So Ella, so says Abaye, approach number three. So again, approach number one was, you got two brises, they don't fit with each other, get rid of the more makil one, go with the more machmir one, because we're dealing with the din d'oraisa. Approach number two, I'm fine with these two brises because I know which tanaim to attach them to. One is Rabbi Shimon Elazar, one is the Tanakam, and everything's fine. Says Abaye, approach number three, first of all, it's not fine because there's still a stira on some level between the two brises. So approach number three, Elahavaha, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Both prices assume, like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that a kazayis that your mevatel me'achila is not going to be a problem. Meaning, once you make it no longer a food, it's not a problem. Velo kasha, and there's no stira between the prices. Ha b'makom lisha, avaha shelo b'makom lisha. That it depends whether you're dealing with the part of the bowl where it's considered to be the makom lisha, the place where you would need the dough, meaning that both prices assume, like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, that once chametz becomes part of a kli, we don't have to destroy it. Both prices agree on all issues. Any size piece of chametz on the bottom part of the kli, even bigger than a kazayis, on the way bottom part of the kli that holds water in it, is not a problem. Any size chametz on the top of the kli that holds nothing, that for sure is a problem, even if it's pachas mikazayis. And that they all agree. Both prices are talking about the middle of the kli, a part of the kli that doesn't hold the water, but it may hold the flour as you're kneading the dough. So there's some middle section of the kli that holds the dough, but it's above where the water is held. So the first brisa tells us that a piece smaller than a kazayis in that area of the bowl is not a problem. Second brisa tells us that a kazayis in that area of the bowl is a problem. So that's what the Gemara says. Ha b'makom lisha, ha shelo b'makom lisha. That's Abaye's way of solving the issue. So I'm Rav Ashi, lo tema shelo b'makom lisha agaba da'agna, ela sifsa da'agna. Shelo b'makom lisha doesn't have to mean on the outside of the bowl. It could just be on the very, very high edges of the very high part of the inside of the bowl. Says in our Pshita, isn't that obvious? That's what shelo b'makom lisha means. I might have thought that sometimes you can even have something hit the outside of the bowl. So therefore, or rather, sometimes since the contents of the bowl may even rise all the way up to all the way the top part of the inside of the bowl, that all of that's called makom lisha. Kamash Milan. That's why he tells me that no, that's not called Makom Lisha. So how do we paskin? Amram Nachman Amrav Halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that if you take Sa'or and you're kofes it and you're miyachid it for yeshiva to sit on it, it's no longer a violation because it's batal over there and it's considered and even if it's larger than a kazayis, it's not a problem. So frekta gemara eini v'amrav yitzam barashi amrav im toch paneho bitit batla, that if you take an old piece of dough, a big chunk of dough, and you cement or plaster the outside of it, and then you use it as a chair, then it's going to be batel. So tach in lo tach lo, sounds like you need to plaster the outside of it. That if you're just going to say, I'm going to use this as a chair, that's not good enough to just decide. You have to do something to it. So man masniha lo masniha. So says, well, you're right. Whoever taught in the name of Rav, whoever taught that memra, didn't teach the other memra in the name of Rav. Meaning Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak Barashi disagree about what Rav holds. We don't like to say that, but that we have no choice over here. Do we pass on Rav Shimon ben Elazar or not? So it's machlokas whether Rav passed in that way or not. Ika da amri, others say Amrav Nachum Ram Rav ein alach Rav Shimon ben Elazar da Amrav Yitzchak Barashi Amrav im takman abetit batla. Others say that no, there's no version in which Rav holds like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rav rejects Rav Shimon ben Elazar because he holds that just deciding to use it as a chair is not enough. You need to also be tachbetit. You need to also cement it or plaster it in some way. Now, Magen Avraham writes in the name of the Ma'aril in Siman Tav Samach that based on what the Gemara had said way back in the first parak, that crumbs are not considered chashav and they're batal on their own. When you have to be batal yuchamis for Pesach, it's not because of crumbs. The crumbs are batal on their own. The bittul is because Shem Yimtzu Gluska Yafa, you might find a nice piece of chametz. So says Magen Avraham, therefore, when you have to distinguish between Perure Chametz I'm on the wrong thing. You know, we'll come back to that later. So says the Gemara Vayter now. Amar Rav Nachum Nomer Shmuel. Shnei Chatzoy Zesim. If let's say you have two Chatzoy Zesim, you have two half a Kazais, two pieces that are each smaller than a Kazais. V'chut Shel Batzik Beinayin. And there's a strand of dough in between them. So then, Rowan called Shili Yenot Alachut. If you were to pick up that strand that's between them and it would lift up both Chatzoy Zesim together, then Chayav Levari. Then it's one big piece, it's bigger than a Kazayis, you have to be Mevari. Vimlav, Enu Chayav Levari. If not, you don't have to be Mevari. So Amar Ula, Lo Amar, Anel Ba'areva. That's only true if these two Chatzoy Zesim are inside the cracks of a bowl. Aval Bebayis, but if you have two pieces in your house, in one room, in that corner of the room, you have Pachos Mikazayis. In that corner of the room, you have Pachos Mikazayis. Then Chayiv Levar. You have to be invited even if there's no tziruf, even if there's no strand that's between them. My time, the zimnim de kadosh lu v'nafli gabei adadi. What's going to happen? You're going to sweep the floor of your house, and the two pieces of dough are going to connect with each other again. So then you're going to have a problem. Some rule bo b'marava. So they raise the shayla in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's in the same room. But bayis v'aliyamau. What if you have two floors of the house, the upstairs and the downstairs, and each one has pachas mikzayis of chametz there? Bayis v'achsad. What if you have the porch in front of your house and the room inside of your house, meaning two separate rooms? Do you have to be choshesh that when you sweep, they're going to come into each other? Shnei batim zelif nemizeh, two rooms both within the house, not just the porch in the house, but two rooms, one within the other. So mahu, so what's going to be the halacha then? Do we assume that they join together? Teku, so that we leave unresolved. Rabbeinu Chananel writes, teku on isser is l'chumra, so we have to go l'chumra. The Rambam writes that, be mevatel b'libo v'dayo, just be mevatel it, and then it's fine. How can you just be mevatel and then it's fine? So Rabbeinu Menoch explains, the Magen Avraham explains, Simtav Ben Beis, that the reason that you need to be mevatel is because it's an ibaya in the Gemara, so it's a sveka daraisa. Once you do bittel, midaraisa, bittel be almasagi. Once you do bittel, you've downgraded the issue to an issue on a drabanan level. Good, so once it's an issue on a drabanan level, sveka drabanan lekula. So that's why the Rambam says, because it's a teku, all you have to do is be mevatel. So this is what I wanted to comment on before, that we were discussing the Magen Avraham quotes from the Ma'aril, that even though small crumbs are not a problem, and you don't need bittel on crumbs, but pieces of dough that can attach to each other and connect easily to each other are apparently chashuv, and they're not going to be bittel. As opposed to little pieces of bread, they will be bittel, because little pieces of bread, we don't assume even if you sweep up, they're not really going to be mitzaref with each other. Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Samach writes that if a person needs dough for matzos after the zman of the Yisur Chametz, if let's say you're baking matzah late in the day on Erev Pesach, as you're kneading the dough, you should say kol pirurim sheyiplu b'shas lisha v'areva, that any crumbs that fall out as I'm trying to knead the dough, ani mevatel osam, I'm being mevatel them, in order that it will turn out that you're mevatel them before they become chametz. And we don't say that the pirurim are just going to be batel on their own, since they're less than a gezayis, because they're pirurim of dough, they're not pirurim of pas. So you see that there's a distinction between crumbs of dough and crumbs of pas. Crumbs of dough are mitzariv to each other. Crumbs of pas are not mitzariv to each other. So okay, let's see a little bit weiter though. So says Gemara Tan Rabbanan, hapas she'iv shevinivsel amilech l'adam. Let's say you have dough that's become bread that's become moldy, and a person can't eat it anymore. But va'kelav yachol liyochla. But a dog could still eat it. Metami tumasochlin bekabetza. If it has a shir kabetza, it's metami tumasochlin. As always, whenever we say shir kabetza for tumasochlin, machlokas Rashi and Tosos, according to Rashi, a food could be mekabel tuma even if it's very tiny. It only lacks the ability to be metami other things if it's shir kabetza. Whereas according to Tosos, it can't even become tame. Tosos in Masechta Shabbos can't even become tame if it's machlokas kabetza. So calls man that it's roi for a caliph to eat, it didn't lose the shame meichel. It's still called a meichel. But if it's truma tahora, nisrefes imatmeya bepesach. You'd be allowed to burn it together with truma tahora during the 6-hour ner of Pesach, because it's not roi for an adam. So it's mutter to be metame, it'd be a daim. Mishum Rabbi Nassan amru eina metame. Rabbi Nassan says that since it's nifsal meachilas adam, it's not even tame tumas ochlin. So kemanos lahadetanan, whose sheet is being followed in the Mishnah Maseches Taros that says that klalam rubataros kolam yuchal ochal adam tamei achiv some milechal lekelev, that anything that was once edible for human beings remains tamei until it's nifsal meachilas kelev kiman delok Rabbi Nassan. That's against Rabbi Nassan, because according to Rabbi Nassan, as soon as it's nifsal meachilas adam, it's not tamei, even though it's still ra'oi lachilas kelev. There is a discussion in Poskim about rat poison. Let's say you have chametz that's rat poison. So is that considered to be nifsal me'achilas kelev? The kelev will eat it, he's just going to die, right? The animals will eat it, they'll just die. So is that called nifsal me'achila? So Stechemed raises such a suffix, and he says, you can't call that nifsal. Nifsal me'achila means it's inedible, that they don't enjoy the taste. They wouldn't want to eat such a thing. But if it's something that's very enticing to them, it's just that you laced it with cyanide or something, you put something in there that's going to kill it. So that's not considered a nifsal me'achila. But Stechemed, he points out, some of the poskim suggest that maybe it has a din like the dough that you decided to turn into a chair. That once you decide, I'm not using this as food, I'm not feeding this to my animals anymore, I'm using it as like a shotgun, I'm using it to kill these animals. So then it's like turning the chametz into a chair, where you were totally mevatel it from its use. Or he points out, you could argue the other way, that no, you're not bopping it over the head with the rat poison. You're feeding it to the animal. So if you're feeding it to the animal, maybe that taka is a problem of chametz. A little bit vayt. Tan Rabban, arevas ha'abdanin. If you have a bowl that those who tan hides use, shenasal tocha kemach, that they put flour into it, tok shlosh yamim, if it's 3 days before Pesach, so chayiv levayr, if it's within 3 days of Pesach that you put the flour into this dough, it's still chametz. It's still a status of chametz. Kodem shlosh yamim, but if it's been in there where you tan the hides for more than 3 days, then eino chayav levayr. Then it's so destroyed from the reyach of the kli, from the smell of the hiding of the tanning of the hides, that you don't have to worry about it. So I'm Rabbi Nosson Bamed Dvarim Amurim. When do we say that if you put flour in there 3 days before Pesach, you don't have to be mevayr? Within 3 days, you do have to be mevayr. That's shalom nasan letocha oros. That's if you didn't put any actual hides in there. Av nasan letocha oros. Afil tol shlosha eino chayav levayr. If it was actually mixed with animal hides, then it's disgusting right away. Then you don't, it doesn't need 3 days for it to be disgusting. So I'm a Rava, halacha k'Rabbi Nassan, afilu yom echad, afilu shoa achas. That we pass on the k'Rabbi Nassan, that if you put hides, actual animal hides in there together with the flour, then it's going to become nifsal me'achilas kelev right away. Even if it's just 1 day, even if it's only shoa achas, it doesn't take long at all. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots, 4 lines from the bottom of the page.